Greet each one in Jesus' name this evening. I'm glad to be here with you. Bible school is something that is dear to my heart. I enjoy seeing the energy of youth and inspiring youth to be faithful and do their part in church life. It's a blessing to see so many young people gathered at one place. Tonight, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 for a text verse. This is a missions conference, and we must start with considering what it takes to be a missionary. And mission work brings many challenges. But one of the first challenges we must talk about is, what does it take in my life? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." I have an object lesson along tonight that I'd like to... I'm going to move this out so the ladies' side can see this as well. Hope this doesn't fall off of here, but if it does, it will just illustrate how fragile mortal beings are and how quickly they go to pieces. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I wasn't sure how to capture the treasure. I wasn't sure what object to put in here, so I put a Bible in here. It's part of the treasure. It is the direction that shows us what the total treasure is. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This clay pot is to represent you and I, our life, our heart. And this verse tells us in this whole chapter, we would do well to read the whole chapter. We'll refer to numerous verses, but talks about how it is the beauty that a simple pot, an earthen pot, can have a beautiful treasure inside, and the glory that comes forth when the beauty is the treasure, not the container. You start to see some of the concepts that we need to talk about tonight. The value is inside, not in the treasure, not in the container, although the treasure needs containers. There is no mission work done today. The angels don't do mission work. There's a time when angels will fly through the heaven and proclaim the gospel, I believe. But angels don't do mission work today. God needs containers to go and do mission work. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure? Well, it tells us that it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ in this passage. Let's read the first, maybe we should read the first 10 verses to get a little glimpse of this. And I want you to think about what he's talking about with this treasure in human hearts. Verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our bodies. We'll stop reading there for now. And so, verse 6 says that this is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined into our hearts and hath given us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What is this treasure? I believe part of this treasure is the Word of God in our hearts. Part of this treasure is the Holy Spirit given to believers. Part of this treasure is the new nature within that we receive at conversion. And within this earthen vessel, there is something different. There is a glory and a power that not everyone in your community has. And that's what it takes to carry this gospel to others. Now, one of the interesting things about light is that it illuminates everything in the world. And it shows us colors and hues and patterns. Without light, everything is darkness. Darkness. You know what's in the world today? Darkness. Because they have reached to let the light of the gospel shine into their hearts. And so many subjects are skewed. So many subjects are not clearly seen. So many subjects men are confused on because they won't honor the light. Light dispels darkness. When light is absent, it creates utter darkness. I remember being in Honduras, and we had a generator at the children's home, and I remember the first night that the electricity was off as we prepared to go to bed. And we turned the generator on, we took our showers, we did all the things that Americans do in third world countries when you have a generator. Now, the rest of the community was doing without electricity. And then it came time to sleep, and the other brother at the compound said, well, we can turn the generator off, we don't need electricity to sleep. And I gulped because we had little children and they liked night lights. And in Honduras, when you turn the generator off and there's no electric, it gets dark, dark, really dark. There's no city lights around to lighten it up. And that's a picture of the world that refuses anything of light anywhere in their quarters. And it just gets darker and darker and darker. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We don't have to live in darkness. Listen, dear ones, tonight. This treasure in earthen vessels is more than just church membership. Church membership is important. I didn't say you don't need to be a church member. But this treasure that we're talking about is more than church membership. It is much deeper. It is much richer than just church membership. This treasure is not just keeping a certain dress code. And I believe in a disciplined church life and some directives for how we will appear. But this treasure we're talking about is not just keeping a certain set of directives. It is not just church attendance and participation. It's not even going to Bible school. This treasure is something deeper. All of those things have impacts on that treasure or are outgrowths of that treasure being there. But this treasure is something deeper. It is not just keeping the traditions of our family and our church. It is something deeper. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ that then will touch all of those things that I just talked about. But if we get a misplaced concept of what the treasure is, and we don't have Jesus Christ in our hearts, we'll run out of steam in the middle of life and life's challenges and working for the Lord. Now, here at Bible school is an opportunity to focus on this treasure. I hear this many times at Bible school. Come to the end of Bible school, students talk about their testimony that they appreciated the scheduled time for personal devotions, and it helped them to focus. And then there's the discipline of class time, and there's lessons to fill out, and there's study hall. And you come to the end of 3 weeks, and students will often say, and you'll experience this, You'll say, you know, it really helped my spiritual life. See, this is one opportunity to avail yourself of a focus on something deeper within. But if you leave from Bible school and forget about that, if you leave and don't take that focus with you, you're going to run dry on that treasure within when you need it, when you need it most. And so it is a wonderful opportunity to have a Bible school like this to focus on the Word and on God and prayer and fasting and all of those things, Bible study, and feel the power of God within and experience some of that closeness. And then it helps us to say, this I want to do with my life when I leave Bible school and as I labor in life and as I just go to work in the workplace or whatever I'm doing, I want to keep this treasure. And then when you have that treasure, you can't hide it. You can't help but be a missionary. So the first point of tonight's message is that every soul that has this treasure has a ministry to share it with others. Everyone who has that treasure within is called then to share it with others. You cannot hide that treasure. People see the Christian life. They see a faithful Christian. They maybe don't understand and don't know what all is there, but they see there's something there, and it's our responsibility to share the gospel with them. Verse 1, Paul talked about, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, they receive this ministry. Why? We all have that ministry. Jesus calls us as his disciples to go and teach all nations. And it must start at home. It must start in our own communities. It must start, may I say, it must start among our youth groups. And it must start with our adults in our workplaces and go from there out. Every soul that has this treasure has a ministry to share it with others. Listen, dear ones, tonight, this treasure must be shared in order to be kept. There are some treasures that we take home and we put them in a hope chest or whatever you want to call it. We lock them away for some time and we keep them hidden from people's view most of the time. And some of those treasures are best kept there, so they're not tarnished or they don't wear out with exposure to the elements. But this treasure will not stay locked away, or we'll lose it. This treasure cannot stay locked away. When you have a hold of this treasure, you cannot hide it. You can't suppress it. You don't want to suppress it. You can't suppress it. And when you begin to suppress it, when you begin to hide it, you lose the treasure. It's gone. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Jesus, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Listen, this treasure is not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. And we, being his servants, sharing this gospel to others. Now, I was intrigued tonight looking at the student list. Looking at last names, I love to look at last names. My last name is Benich. And if you meet a Benich in the Mennonite church, it's my dad or his children. That's it. There's no other Beniches that I know of in the Mennonite church. My dad was a convert from the community. I remember being a little boy, and I remember my dad, we were visiting at a church, and my dad shook hands with this man and told him his name is Dennis Benich. And the man looked at him and said, that's not a Mennonite name. And my dad said, it is now. It is now. See, this treasure cannot be hidden. And this treasure will reside in hearts with very strange last names. It loves to reside in those hearts. I remember being in New York City with the chorus, singing at a rehab. And I was naive to city life. I've learned a lot in the years of mission work in the city, but I went into this to sit down among the people coming out in this rehab. Lots of black people in that rehab, not all of them were, but I sat beside this black man, very friendly man. He invited me to sit beside him. And he looked over and he said to me, he said, are there any brothers in the choir? And I'm thinking brothers like a Mennonite thinks, brothers. We're all brothers. And I was dumbfounded and I didn't know what to say. And he said, are there any brothers in the choir? And about that time, a young man walked in with dark skin, a Negro, one of ours, one that was part of the chorus, walked in to take his place in the chorus. And that man jumped up in the back and he was overjoyed. There's one brother in the choir. There's one brother in the choir. And after they were done singing, that man wanted to talk to that young man. He wanted to know how he is accepted in this whole group, in this Mennonite group of young people, and how. And I went home from there and I said to myself, we need more brothers in the choir. We need more from all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of nationalities, because this treasure is for everyone. Every soul that has a treasure, has this treasure, has a ministry to share it. But the question I have for you tonight is, what is your treasure? Listen, when we have treasures in our heart, you cannot hide it. It will pop out. Whatever your treasure is, the young people that are with you at Bible school are learning to know that, because it's what you talk about. It's what you, it's big in your mind. It's the thing that gets you up in the morning. It's the thing that keeps you going late at night. It's what you're always talking about. It's your treasure. What is your treasure tonight? Is it a misplaced treasure, or is it this glory of the gospel and what Jesus has done for us in our hearts? Number two, this treasure frees the conscience and delivers from deceitfulness. Verse 2 talks about, Paul said, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We're not walking with craftiness. We don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. You know, is there anything deceitful going on in the world? Is there any craftiness around today? Listen. That's another kingdom. This treasure does not do that. This treasure is honest and open and clear and straightforward. This treasure frees the conscience and delivers from deceitfulness. Our lives an open book before God. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We walk in the light. We have fellowship one with another. There's no deceitfulness. This treasure comes through the light shining into our heart. And it comes as we allow the light to shine into every corner and deal with every piece of sin. And I just encourage you young people tonight to learn to open your life before God and let God inspect every part of it. And if there's anything that's a dark room, if there's any corner that you have so far held off from God going there, let Him go there. You'll be surprised at the power of the treasure when you open up every corner of your life. And so it frees the conscience, it delivers from deceitfulness. You know, this gospel is the only power to change lives. It's the only power to change lives. There's people that try all kinds of things to improve their lives, to change themselves, to make things better. But the gospel is the only power that will change lives for now and for eternity. Number three, third point tonight is that Satan hates this treasure and fights to blind hearts. Verse 4 talks about the God of this world having blinded the minds of them which believe not. Satan hates this treasure in the heart. He doesn't want people to see it, and he wants to blind their hearts. He causes unbelief in their hearts. Talks about them which believe not. I ask you the question tonight, do you believe God? Have you settled that in your heart that God is real? God is there. Do you have faith in God? Have you seen God at work in your life? Have you experienced that cleansing power? Or are you on the fence of unbelief? Where is your faith tonight? In what is your faith? Or how strong is your faith tonight? Do you have the faith of Daniel of old? Faith to be thrown in a lion's den and experience that deliverance. Faith. Could you sleep beside the lions? Faith. Do you have the faith of Noah? Do you have the faith of Abraham? Listen, I want to ask you young people somewhat of a scary question. Do you ever consider, have you ever played with the thought in your mind of throwing out this religion? This is a hoax. This is a sham. This is a scam. What are we doing? Have you ever played with that? Listen, that is a scary precipice. Tonight, God is the God of eternity. God will be our judge at the end of life. Do not play with the questions of, is there a God? And does he have anything to do with me? I encourage you tonight to have strong faith in God. And the way we have that faith in God is through a relationship with him, through opening our lives to him, through walking with him, through talking with him and experiencing it firsthand. I cannot give you any other formula to get next to God and grow in your faith to God. There's no other way. There's many scoffers today who look on at Christianity and say, it's a hoax. And often all we can tell them is, listen, won't you try it? Won't you experience it? Won't you yield? It takes a measure of faith to start that journey. And then as you start that journey of confessing God and believing in him, then God pours in grace to strengthen our faith. And we have an experience then that grows and grows. So Satan hates this treasure and he fights to blind hearts. And he would like to destroy hearts here. A number of years ago, somebody challenged me with the question of what is our success rate with our young people? How many of our young people growing up through go out into the world? And I wish sometime we could get a number of brethren together across a wide spectrum of churches and do an accurate poll of maybe 50 years of the Mennonite church. But I've taught school in our Christian Day School for about 14 years. I was involved in Bible school. So I went through some Bible school records and some school records and looked at how many young people growing up in our homes eventually turned their back on God. I'm not talking about people who went from one Mennonite church to another one. I'm talking about people who stepped away from truth, Bible doctrine. You know what the percentage is? It's about 20%. 20%. If you have a chicken contract and you have a mortality rate of 20%, you probably will lose your contract. 20%. Listen, dear ones, tonight, that means one in five of you turning away from the faith and not making it for eternity unless we all have this treasure in our hearts and we don't succumb to the blindness that Satan would like to bring. And as a church, I think we need to do more in teaching and stemming the tide and consistency. And there's probably a message in itself, but Satan hates his treasure and he wants to blind hearts and he wants to rob people from the fold. And listen, I just encourage you tonight to pay attention to this treasure and grow in that relationship with Jesus Christ so that you're not one that's left behind and outside of the fold of Christ. Number four, this treasure is for the purpose of glory for the Father. Verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. It's the life of Jesus. It's for the purpose of the glory of the Father. It's not for the purpose of the glory of this pot. This is actually an ugly pot. I think. It's just a simple, plain Jane pot, but that's all right. You might look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Ah, I'm not pretty." That's all right. The excellency is in the heart. Okay? Now I have another piece to tonight's object lesson. Sometimes we don't like this simple pot and we want to dress it up. What did I just do to the glory of the treasure? Okay, now you can go with that. That's about clothing. What I just did there is about clothing, but it's also about buying a vehicle to carry my ego in. It's about anything that's to get attention to me. Where did the treasure go? And what do you think God in heaven thinks when a life that is transformed by Jesus Christ turns to a crutch to get some attention for them? What happens to the treasure? What happens to the face of God when He sees us dialing up ourselves because we forgot that the beauty is in the treasure, not to be on our person or on our things? And listen, the point is the attention is for the glory of the Father, not for ourselves. And so we need to resist those temptations and let those things alone. And we need to make choices about the things that we buy and the clothes that we put on. Make choices that are such that don't draw the glory away from the treasure. I had to think about the time that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey. And the people spread their clothes and laid palm branches, Palm Sunday. And they said, "Hosanna to the King of David." And they welcomed this king. Poor little donkey didn't get any attention, right? What would have happened on Palm Sunday if the donkey would have reared up and said, look, this is significant. No one ever rode on me and I'm behaving for this king. The donkey was hardly noticed. The people didn't throw the palm branches down for the donkey. They threw it down for the master on the donkey. You and I are called to be that donkey carrying the King of Heaven into Jerusalem. And it's just all right if we don't get any attention. We got all the work and no attention because the attention is for Him. That's what it's for. Our speech, our reactions when we're taken advantage of, our choices, our care for others, our love. The Bible says, by that all men will know whether we are His disciples. And so, this treasure is for the purpose of glory for the Father. Number five, this treasure gives us fortitude and renewal under test. We read in verse 8, he says, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed." How can you face trouble on every side and not be distressed? You know what happens to me when I face trouble on one side? I get distressed. And if it comes on two sides, I get really distressed. And if it starts on a third side, I'm ready to run. And by the time it's on all around me, I'm done. Right? He says we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You know how you can be troubled on every side, facing difficulty on every side, and not distressed? Because you have a treasure within. And you turn to that and you hold on to that. And that treasure will give us fortitude and renewal under test and under struggle. That's really easy to say here tonight behind a pulpit, facing a group of young people and everything's nice and whatever. That is really easy to say. But ask my wife what it sounds like when somebody just gave it to me over some church decision or something. And you know what? Life is real. Life is earnest. It takes turning to the treasure. It takes remembering what's within and holding on to that to take us through. Sometimes that is the only thing we have to take us through. You can read stories of the martyrs sitting in prison with none of the rest of their church people around them facing death, and all they had was the treasure in their heart. Paul and Silas sang about the treasure, and it opened the prison doors. The power of God opened the prison doors. We have had it so good in life that we sometimes don't realize how much that treasure can take us through. And maybe we give up at things that many others would say, well, I would have traded my problems with you. You're giving up, throwing up your hands with your problems. Why don't you take mine? You're not even facing death or martyrdom, and you think life is tough. So it gives us fortitude and renewal under test. What happens when you wreck that $40,000 pickup truck? Think about the devastation when you have your treasure in earthly things and they're destroyed. What happens? What happens in a fire? A number of years ago, we were in Mississippi, and there was one of the church families down there lost their house by fire. It was a very unique situation because they were at a funeral. It was a community person that this family had been reaching out to, and one of the family had died, and so they wanted this church. And this family that lost their house was kind of like family to them. They wanted our church there at Darbin to have the funeral service. And you know that everything in life stops for a funeral, right? You stop your work, you go to a funeral because you don't have control over that day. Everything stops for a funeral, but you know what a funeral stops for? A house fire. Someone walked in the auditorium and told this family that their house was on fire. And they left to go home and sit in the driveway and watch all of their things burned up. And I remember talking to that brother. And he said, you know, I thought about all the things. He said, you know, I thought about all our photo albums are gone. But he said, we still have the memories. Can't take them from us. What happens when earthly things are destroyed if your treasure is in them? You can't already live with it. But when your treasure is in the heart, then you can lose your house and still walk with God. What happens when cancer, get the diagnosis of cancer, a man in our area, just this week, diagnosed with cancer. No cure for it. 3 months to live. What do you do? It takes holding on to the treasure to make it through as the one with the cancer, to make it through as the family. What about the death of a loved one or the departure from the faith of a family member? This treasure gives us fortitude and renewal under test. You know, I don't know what lies ahead for saints in America, but America is in turmoil. And it doesn't matter what lies ahead. I'll tell you, there's two things that I know about what lies ahead. One is whatever comes will be under God's divine control, because God was at every election box, and he was beside or inside or around or present with every voting machine. He was present at every one of them, and whatever all happened was under his divine allowed plan for whatever is to come next. So I know that God is in control, and I know that the treasure will take us through. Those two things you can hold on to, regardless what changes, regardless how much turmoil is in the world. God is in control. He's present in all of those places where perhaps very bad things are happening. I don't know. And the treasure in our hearts will take us through. And we'll leave a testimony to those around us. And the last point is that this treasure helps keep our eyes on eternal things. This treasure keeps our eyes on eternal things. Verse 17 and 18, he talks about our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul says that right now there's things going on. I can't look at the things down here. I look at the eternal. Listen, turn your eyes away from the news media. Turn your eyes away from some of the... It's all right to know a little what's going on. But you got to stop looking at the temporal and you got to focus on the eternal. And that treasure in our hearts will help us to stay focused on the eternal and not worry so much about the temporal. This treasure will help keep our eyes on eternal things. Many a person has lost their salvation, lost their Christian life, they're running the race successfully because they turned their eyes from the eternal to the temporal and said, I've got to fight for the temporal. That is where value is. I want to tell you something, dear ones, tonight. Young people, with this treasure that we're talking about tonight, you and I have everything that the world longs for and chases after, spends money for, dreams about. We have everything that the world longs for, but they can never have until they have the treasure. And it'd be good for you sometime to make a list. What are the things that you really want in life? Things like security, it's in the treasure. Things like peace, it's where the treasure is. Things like satisfaction in life, a meaning, a purpose to live, it's where the treasure is. You cannot find it in Hollywood. You can't find it in the world. They pursue it. And even things like pleasure. Real pleasure is where the treasure is. Because even when you have an enjoyable time with something like a game and like V-ball, when it is done with Christian values and godly saints, there is lasting joy and pleasure. But if it's done selfishly, if it's done for ungodly purposes, if it's done for worldly ambitions, it's emptiness and vain. You can talk about wanting a future. You can talk about purpose for life. Listen, with this treasure, we have everything that the world longs for, chases, dreams of, tries to buy, and they can never get it. It's always, they miss it. By the time they grab, it's gone. It's gone. And they look around at you and I, and they see we have it. If we will carry that treasure with us. And some will say, tell me about that treasure. I want what you have. That makes a missionary. May the Lord help us as we go through this weekend to think about the value and to treasure the treasure of the life of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood within our lives. And that'll prepare us to minister to whoever we meet, wherever we meet them. Let's stand together for prayer. Our righteous Father in heaven, we thank you for this privilege to have been together in this way and look into your word. Thank you, Father, for this treasure. We realize that each one of us are but clay vessels, very needy. We need filling regularly. We come up so short. Father, thank you for the treasure that we can have in our hearts, the relationship with Jesus Christ, salvation from sin, forgiveness, peace and joy, the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the truths of the Word that we can hold in our hearts to guide us. And Father, we realize tonight we are so blessed to have this treasure. Help each one of these young people to treasure that treasure and hold on to it. And help them in this Bible school experience to be encouraged and strengthened in relating to that treasure and drawing closer to you. And Father, as the world changes around us and many dark things happen around us, I pray that you'd help us to realize that it's all under your control. And that if we have this treasure in our heart, we can face whatever comes. We can live faithful in this life and be ready when the trumpet sounds. Bless us to this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.